Hi, podcasters. This is Andy Studna, editor of Applied Clinical Trials, and I'm here today with our editor-in-chief, Lisa Henderson. For today's edition of the ACT podcast, we are speaking with Chris Economos, vice president and head of life sciences for Echo.
Chris is a healthcare technology executive who has built a career developing go-to-market strategies and selling IP-centric healthcare solutions to global corporations and health systems. He has experience in biopharma commercialization, behavioral health, and artificial intelligence-based clinical technologies. And prior to joining Echo in May 2022, Chris spent time with PhysIQ, Healthy Interactions, and AbbVie. So thank you for joining us today, Chris.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks again, Chris. So first question right off the bat, can you describe your career journey to our audience?
So I've been in or around pharma for my entire, I guess, what you call post-MBA career, starting out in biotech, specifically a Novo Nordisk funded biotech company. But then from there, I guess I graduated into a really exciting role and opportunity at AbbVie on the commercial side of the business there, where I focused my efforts supporting both the anti-infective franchise that AbbVie had at the time, as well as the respiratory franchise. But despite really enjoying that experience, I needed to scratch that entrepreneurial itch. And so from AbbVie, I made my leap into the startup space with a company that focused on really engaging and novel approaches to patient education. And in that role, I led business development, where my focus was to license our solutions to pharma companies that were looking for new ways to engage the market, both healthcare professionals and patients. Really exciting work that we did there at that company, culminating in having what at the time was the largest diabetes education program in the world. But then I learned of a really innovative company that was using advanced artificial intelligence-based analytics to process wearable sensor data to do some pretty amazing things with respect to patient care. So joined PhysIQ, where I was chief commercial officer, and helped build that company to a position where we worked with major health systems, payers, as well as major pharmaceutical companies to allow them to tap into wearable sensor data. As you noted, I then joined Echo in May of 2022 to lead life science. Echo is a company that has been around for almost 10 years, largely commercializing our digital stethoscopes directly to doctors and nurses. The company decided to move strategically into more business-to-business focused arenas, including life science, and I was hired to build that out. So that's where I find myself today, and we're bringing digital stethoscopes and artificial intelligence to pharma and med device companies who are looking to tap into the types of data and insight that we generate.
So in regard to what you just said, you know, you left the pharma, not left, you know, you are around the pharma industry, but you went into an online educational experience and then PhysIQ, and you said there's a quote on your appointment on your webpage that says, almost a decade ago, I made the leap into digital medicine because I believed it was the future of healthcare. So can you elaborate on what you mean by that and why you think that is?
If you look at the history of medicine, we've made enormous advancements over the last several hundred years. But you know, human health and biological systems are enormously complex. And in fact, I think that it's just more information and more data, either at an individual level or at a population level, that's too much for an individual, for a human brain to comprehend. And that's where digital medicine and AI, I think, really will allow us to break through into the other world, right? Where by virtue of the sheer processing capabilities and power of data and analytics, we'll be able to understand things about these very complex systems and act on them in a way that historically has been impossible just based on the way we've traditionally thought about human health. And there's no going back. Digital is very much here. And as we are able to tap into new data sets and apply new algorithms, we're going to be able to do things that we never thought were possible, again, at both an individual level, right? So for example, being able to process physiological data for a given person all the way to a population level, right? Being able to ingest massive amounts of population level data and generate insights that will allow us to move the needle for both the individual person as well as the broader population.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Kind of following on that in a similar sense, where do you see the intersection of pharmaceuticals and digital healthcare?
So I've had the good fortune of working both on the R&D side of pharma and clinical development, as well as the commercial side. And so we have the very highest level, pretty much every pharma company is bifurcated into those two sets of activities. And digital has the potential to support both sides of that business. So if you look at the company that I'm currently with, Echo Health, we have a digital stethoscope that collects heart and lung sounds as well as ECG. And then we have a portfolio of algorithms that take the raw data that's being collected on body and generate insight that is either very difficult or historically impossible for a clinician to generate with a traditional analog stethoscope. And so we are applying this against both sides of that pharma universe in terms of clinical development, helping pharma companies address some of the key challenges that they have across clinical trials, whether it relates to recruiting patients or screening patients or monitoring patients. And then on the commercial side, by virtue of being able to use our device and our technology to detect disease, we're uniquely positioned to help identify patients who might ultimately benefit pharma or med device therapeutics, or identify when patients have progressed in their disease such that they're candidates for a later stage treatment. So we're really looking at, again, both sides of the equation around how we support clinical trials, as well as how we can help implement new commercial strategies that your digital is uniquely capable of addressing.
So I think you covered this in your answer here, but I was just going to ask about specifics in clinical trials and clinical research, what you thought would be the short and long-term, implications for digital health products. I recently just wrote up a short article rounding up FDA's recent digital health technology activities. And a lot of that, it's more around DCTs. But anyway, I just wanted to get your insights on, the clinical trials piece of the digital health products.
I think it's key to start with the challenges that are common across industry with respect to clinical trials and clinical development. So there's every single trial out there and every single sponsor out there are focused on finding novel ways to better identify and recruit patients, then making sure that they're screening them, right? So that they're getting the right patients into the study. And then once they're in the study, being able to efficiently collect data from them and monitor them, right, to ensure patient safety. And then ultimately collecting data that allows them to establish or meet their safety and efficacy endpoints. And so when I think about digital, whether it's here at Echo or anywhere else, I think it's really key to figure out where you align across those different challenges. And the technology that I work with at Echo, we have a value proposition associated with most of those, whether it means providing clinicians with a tool at the point of care that allows them to better identify patients with disease that fit the criteria for a particular trial. Similarly, using that same device to identify disease so that you can screen patients out. So for example, knowing whether or not a patient might have structural heart disease is something that's probably pretty important for a lot of trials. And if you wouldn't want to necessarily screen a patient out that has structural heart disease, you certainly at least want to know about it, right? And it's about providing a tool that makes that very simple for a clinician. And then of course, being able to monitor patients throughout that study, whether that be based on clinical visits within the system, right, within the clinic, or providing patients or nurses with this tool that they can use to collect data at home. So we see ourselves fitting in across the continuum, if you will, of all those key steps within a trial to align with or address the challenges that are pretty universal for trial sponsors.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
So just based off of your answer to that question, Chris, it obviously seems like there's a lot of hoops that maybe these providers need to jump through, you know, regulatory requirements and whatnot to actually bring their digital health products to market. So in that sense, can you elaborate on any challenges with FDA recognizing novel technologies versus, say, some of the older traditional measurements that they're still trying to use?
So there are a lot of challenges, right? I think one of the key challenges in the world of digital, and particularly what we call digital biomarkers, is the disconnect between the technology that's available and what has become accepted over the last decades with respect to how you might measure the impact of a particular drug. So there are a lot of biomarkers, if you will, that have been around, or digital measurement tools that have been around for a long time and are accepted by FDA and therefore adopted by medical directors who are writing the clinical protocols. And a lot of these gold standard measurements reflect a very old technology or completely analog, right? And as a result, really do have a lot of flaws. But because they've been around so long, they're just kind of ingrained in thinking in terms of as being standard measurements to use. And so there's a really high bar for novel digitally oriented solutions that are likely better than these legacy analog measurements, but there's a really high bar to establish that they're better. And this is where your companies in the space that I'm in are challenged with generating the data sets, which are very costly, to prove to the regulators and prove to the decision makers within pharma that these are in fact better measurements. And I think everybody's doing the best they can here for sure. But again, there's this disconnect between what could be used or what should be used because it likely is superior to what's actually being used. And again, the burden of proof is on the companies who are developing these technologies, but it seems to be a slow go. And I do know that these companies could benefit from support from the various stakeholders to help get over that hump and establish the superiority that we all believe is there.
So to the end that it is a challenge for both sponsors and, you know, for pharma and the FDA to kind of get their head around these new measurements, you know, they're trying to get their head around AI. Pretty much everybody's trying to get their head around AI. Also, you know, it's pretty much, like you said, the power of it, the power of the data analytics is only just begun to figure out these things. But you believe in that power of AI and you support companies that believe in that power of AI. But are there any particular challenges around AI that life sciences executives should be considering at this point?
There are a ton, probably, right?
Okay.
From my vantage point, I think the biggest challenge isn't necessarily a technological challenge. It's more of a human challenge. That's to say, there are a lot of industries that do a nice job of keeping pace with the rate of technological innovation for reasons, a lot of which are relate to my response to the last question. That's really not the case in healthcare. It takes a long time to adopt new things in healthcare. And pharma is no different. And it seems like there are a lot of inefficiency with respect to being able to identify new technologies and put them into practice as relates to the activities that pharma is focused on. And if I were an executive with a pharma company, I think what I'd be trying to understand is how do we embrace these technologies a lot faster, but do it in a way, of course, that, you know, works with the business models that are the reality. So these bets that pharma companies make are very big bets over very long time horizons. And the evolution of the technology, I think, it outstrips what's possible or what's generally fits nicely into those big bets and those time horizons. I wish I had the answer here. I don't. But I think the pharma companies that are able to, you know, seize upon that disconnect, kind of an arbitrage opportunity, right? Those that can more quickly integrate technology in a de-risked way, I think are the ones that are going to have a significant competitive advantage. But that's not a simple equation at all, right? These are companies that by and large are, like I said, making big bets and need to be really thoughtful and careful about those bets. And that's not always congruent with finding and integrating the newest technologies. But to the extent that they can incentivize members of their team to take on that risk, I think will go a long way in adopting the technologies that ultimately should be able to make a huge difference with respect to how they bring drugs to market and how they commercialize them.
So do you want to talk about the Astellas agreement with the news announcement that they're going to be incorporating your digital stethoscope into another platform for heart failure patients?
Absolutely. So I actually think the Astellas product and deal with Echo is representative of very forward-thinking senior leadership on the part of Astellas, where they have set up a business unit focused specifically on digital. This business unit is called RX Plus. And what this allows is for them to pursue digital in a way that doesn't necessarily have to tie back to their pharmacological products. And I think that structure allows them to be bold and allows them to do things that many pharma companies can't do. And so in this particular program, Astellas identified that there's a significant global unmet need with respect to supporting patients with heart failure. They, within this RX Plus business unit, they wanted to develop and then commercialize a product that could help patients better manage their heart failure, both in terms of healthier behaviors, but beyond that, improving communication between the patient and clinician, or I should say, improving access to data on behalf of the clinician about the patient to help them better manage their disease. And so in this product, which is currently called Z1601, the solution will leverage Echo's digital stethoscope and our portfolio of algorithms to collect data from the patient at home. So if you take a heart failure patient, they're going to hold the stethoscope to their chest and collect data on a regular basis at home. That data will then stream to the cloud where it's processed by our algorithms. And then the patient's clinician will have visibility into these really novel and insightful data streams and help them better assess how their heart failure patient is managing. So heart failure is a really complex condition, and it ideally has a high touch practice model, but the realities of healthcare don't allow patients to see their clinicians every week or every other week. And so this product is designed to provide that visibility, but do it in a remote and digital way to supplement their standard care in a way that, you know, I think we all hope will result in improved outcomes and reduced hospitalizations.
Yeah, my mother-in-law, she has congestive heart failure, and my father-in-law has diabetes. So he wears a sensor that, you know, takes his ranges and downloads it to the physician, but she doesn't have that. And I could see where that would be really beneficial.
I think that's a really interesting juxtaposition of two diseases, right? Diabetes, the idea of remote glucose monitoring has been around for a long time, and it helps the patient and it helps the clinician. I think your insight is spot on, right? The idea is that to be able to provide a similar or analogous view into physiological data for heart failure patient that allows both patient and clinician to better manage a really complex disease.
So is this a pilot with Astellas, or is this just, it's a deal and they're moving forward?
It's a great question. I think those of us in the innovation space are very used to, unfortunately, very used to everything being piloted.
Yeah.
And this is a case, though, where Astellas realized that in order to make a dent in this market, they had to go big. And so it is not a pilot deal. Of course, there'll be steps in the process to bring this product to market. But as it relates to the relationship between Echo and Astellas, it's a full-blown commercial relationship that is not framed around a pilot necessarily.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Chris. We wish you well. I mean, we hope to hear more great deals from your company and the advancements in your space. You know, keep us posted.
Will do. Certainly appreciate time here today and appreciate all your efforts to shine a spotlight on these innovative things that are going on out there in healthcare and in pharma.
Thank you again, Chris.